cultural differences between the Brits and the Germans must be like the most popular topic in certainly my Instagram feed and all the messages I've been receiving. People want to know, like, how is it really? Mm-hmm. Like, the unembellished, genuine truth.
Yes.
And last episode, if you were there, we started talking about little things that irritate us or annoy us in a social and professional context, trying to be specific and, not as stereotypical because, well, you and I, we've both lived in each other's respective countries and worked with Brits and Germans for decades.
Yeah.
And so there are many little things the Germans don't get about the Brits and the other way around. And we always sit in the middle and we sort of build the bridge and we go, no, hang on. No, this isn't war.
How many times have we been there like that? Just relax. Relax, step off, breathe.
And they're all up and arms and all like fired up. And so
beautifully put,
Yes, please. So you last episode, you've already... you've given us a little teaser into that there's more coming.
There's more coming. Yeah, and I like the fact we're doing this so off the cuff. It is completely unscripted because as we were talking in the previous episode, it suddenly dawned on me, I thought, shit, that's a great example. So I touched on, very briefly, what I call a lack of social cohesion, the glue that binds. And I'm not talking about the laws that say thou shalt not mow down a little old lady because she's counting a fucking coins at the supermarket and you're running 10 minutes late and the boss is going to ream your ass for not being in there on time. Okay. I'm not talking about that kind of social cohesion. I'm talking about the finer details that don't get given anywhere. Well, they're just not talked about because I think more often than not, people just are unaware of them. And So we touched on the idea of personal indemnity insurance, private Haftpflichtversicherung, the whole idea that, you have to indemnify yourself in the event of, say, spilling wine on your friend's carpet. And we touched on that. And I said then, and I'll say it now, I think, if you're worried your friends are going to bill you for wine on their carpet, you need to get some new friends because they're pretty shitty friends. And while I was talking about, or rather listening to you, and I was actually listening to you, I wasn't just waiting for my turn to speak, right? Okay, just... God, when she's going to stop banging on because I've got to speak. You know I'm not like that. Another great example came to me, and it's more of a professional example. And before I say that professional example, I want to make clear, intercultural differences or cultural differences, it is or has the potential to be a very wishy-washy subject.
Of course.
Fluffy. And again, if you go onto LinkedIn, there are people falling over themselves to talk about cultural differences or lack thereof, and it's all very, very safe. And it's not specific. And what I want with you is to offer real specifics so that anybody listening to this, anybody watching this can go, oh, shit, right, that makes sense. Okay. And the example that came to mind while I was listening to you was something that I learned while I was doing my MBA in the EuroFH in Hamburg. And great time, actually, an expensive time in my life. And it did bankrupt me, but it was worth it. And it was while I was doing the component international law. And I was very fortunate to be well acquainted with a top lawyer in Germany for other reasons. Shout out to Dirk Schwaner if you're listening to this. I doubt that he is, but if maybe he is. I really like Dirk. He really took his time with me and he coached me on some points and I was very grateful to him. And I once heard him say, "Ja, Daniel, musst aber wissen, ne? Informationen sind Heulschulden." Right? And I was like, what the fuck is a Heulschuld? I have no idea what this is. And he walked me through it. So I suppose for non-German speakers, the concept of Heulschuld is so quintessentially German in a professional context. And it does not exist in the UK.
You translate it, first of all?
Well, it's beautiful because it involves the word Schuld, which can mean guilt or
debt,
right? Owing
in any kind of capacity,
right? Heulschuld. So the expression Informationen sind Heulschulden is, I suppose, off the cuff, best translated as something like information in any form is something you are obligated to go and get yourself.
Yes.
nobody's going to bring it to you. You have to know to ask the question, or you have to know where to look for it. You have to know that you need it. So if it's
a beautiful unknown.
Right? Exactly. That's right. So if it's an unknown unknown, like, you know, for example, you were given a piece of paper explaining the procedure for doing something, and in that explanation, it contains a passcode, for example, to a door, say a six number letter combination thing on the door. You are obligated, from a German perspective, to have read that information, to absorbed it all, and to know that you need that passcode for that door. And if you get there and you either didn't read that section or you forgot it, what's your problem? Because it's your obligation to go and get that information. Contrast that with the experience of working in a British professional setting. The Brits, the English in particular, and myself personally all the time, as I'm sure you'll testify to, I love to overshare.
Mm.
I love giving people just that little bit of informational toot-toot, just on top. Go, oh, just so you know, this might come in handy. To the point where it really does wind you up. Let's just shut it and let's just go, because they don't need to know what you ate for breakfast. They don't need to know if your dog's happy, okay, and they don't need to know about X, Y, Z. And that's a valid point, because I do overshare in those respects. But an Englishman would go, oh, by the way, you've probably read the information. That door's got a six-letter combination on it. Did you see the PIN code? And so
they would. And they would. I completely get now why you're like this.
Right.
But at first I thought, why is he always overshare? Like, I come from a family where you don't waste breath.
You don't waste.
Or air.
Was sagen die da in deiner Familie? Die Luft ist da nicht zum Verblabbern oder zum Verbraten oder wie auch immer. Something.
Keine Luft verbraten. So yeah. Don't waste the air around don't waste you. If you air. Don't have anything to say, don't say it. So it's we're not talkers in my family.
Coffee and cake is probably one of the most quiet.
At least on one side of the family, yeah, yeah. I can think of. We're not talkers. Not we're talkers. Not sharers at all.
The other side of the family.
There, yeah. Not know anything about each other.
Yeah, it's true.
And then leave. But
it's true.
So when I met you, I was always like, why is he like, this is private or personal, yeah, or like irrelevant at best. Like, why is he always explaining everything?
Why is he telling people about that itch he's got?
They're strangers. Like, what's he doing? And yeah, now I totally appreciate this British mannerism, the social glue, like, hey, you know, just FYI, just so we're on the same page, or just so you're not struggling in 2 minutes' time,
yeah,
I'm just going to let you know. Yes. And it's so lovely.
Thank you. I'm really glad you like. And it is a real thing. I don't want to talk about fluffy, generic, you know, half-baked ideas that, you know, could or could not apply to a nation. This is a real terms, everyday occurrence that I experience. And just to be clear, there are people in England who will go out of their way to not help you, to not share information. And I've always wanted to do this in a very public setting, use the special word that I reserve for particular occasions, okay? People like that who don't share information or will withhold it, knowing that in all probability you're going to trip up, we call them cunts. And people don't like them. No. They don't get invited to parties. No. They don't have family and friends, and they die quite lonely. So, you know, I have no time for those people, and you quickly work out who they are in an office setting, and you avoid them at all costs. And it's quite liberating, actually, to use the most offensive word in the English language to describe them, because that's what they are. They're cunts, and people will not give them the time of day. So that is the single biggest bugbear I would have. And again, one of the reasons I choose not to work in Germany anymore, because people are, in my experience, not willing to go above and beyond. They're just not. And it's deeply ingrained in the psyche.
I always feel like there's a bit of a mean streak. I suppose, like, when you think about, like, the word Schadenfreude is used in English.
Yeah.
We call it Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
But yeah, so there's always this, like, I'm going to eat my, you know, imaginative popcorn and sit and wait till they trip.
Beautifully put. Yeah.
Yeah. And but conversely, that's why so many project managers you work with, when you give them a little heads up because you're running late for something, or that, you know, you need longer, you're having to work extra hard on a particularly difficult job, or the formatting was bad or whatever.
Yes.
And so you're running behind schedule.
Yes.
And you let them know. And they are so like, wow, thank you. There's great communication.
Yes.
Because there's communication at every turn, like
absolutely.
Every step of the way we communicate.
Absolutely.
Which is something Germans don't do.
No, this,
in my experience. And of course, there's great examples I can think of right now where the opposite holds true. So
always
with a pinch of salt, I suppose. But
sure.
in general, this, just FYI, just to let you know.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to keep you waiting or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a massive difference.
Yes.
I agree.
So the Wohlschulden,
yeah. So the onus is on you,
yes.
And not on me for,
yes.
for sharing everything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you get there, yeah. And then let you fail and struggle.
Yes, for me that is probably the single biggest difference.
Mm.
The most tangible example of where our two great nations differ in a professional context.
Mm.
I find it sad. I find it sad because it's something. Well, I've never heard anybody talk about it on any kind of format or any kind of dialogue about cultural differences. Nobody addresses that.
Do you think that when we talk about this, so if you can't understand me or if you haven't got the context, you need to understand me, that's your fault. That kind of mentality has something to do with why so many Germans just go ahead and translate their texts themselves and they go, well, if they don't get what we're doing, it's their problem.
Yes.
And why so many websites are so average, and why, like in your dad's case, who's just ordered this massive new irrigation system for his beautiful garden.
Yeah.
From an Austrian or German company,
German-speaking
company. German-speaking
Austrian company, I think.
And
the
English communication was so shocking that the poor man had to phone us to you know, for us to help him understand what they meant.
Yeah. Specifically, in this particular case, they sent him documents in English that had clearly been Googled or chucked through DeepL or whatever. And the machine, being a machine, missed the context of KW, Kalenderwoche. The concept of Kalenderwoche, yes, it exists in this country. It is not used outside of perhaps the most niche engineering or logistical supply chain environment. If you talk to somebody on the street about KW,
CW.
CW21, they'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Nobody knows. I work with like marketing teams and sales teams, and KW calendar week is exclusively used.
Yeah.
Like we only ever think in calendar weeks, interestingly.
Yeah.
But when we switch to English to include like an international team, they're completely lost. You can see it.
That's right.
It's above their heads because why did you give them the specific date?
Yes, exactly. And so in the case of the documents that my dad got with his irrigation system, he spent a week trying to work it out before he gave in
what
and called.
What the hell is
this
mean?
Yeah, and when I explained it to him, it was like,
kilowatts.
Right. So from the perspective of that Austrian company communicating with a British customer, I don't understand why their immediate response or their immediate thought process wasn't, do you know what, international customer, let's just pick up the phone to somebody who might know any pointers, anything we should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, or better still, we've written this, well, we've chucked it through DeepL, but we just want to make sure it's okay before we send it. And somebody would have looked at it and gone, well, the translation's fine because the machines are really good, but KW doesn't make any sense. If you are a company with, say, a German, Austrian, Swiss-based company, with international customers, okay, it simply is not good enough to deal with them, communicate them as if they were based in Germany. And by extension, you know, if I've talked about this a lot, and I'm going to talk about this a lot going forward. If you are a professional based in Germany and you're looking to apply for a new job, for example, and the prospective company says, hey, you look great, submit your CV in English, okay, do not write or translate your German CV. Because if somebody comes to you and says, we want your CV in English, they're not asking for a translation. They're asking for an internationally compliant CV, curriculum vitae, in British English or American English. And that's an entirely different ballgame. So yeah, pet peeves. It never ceases to amaze me how many people or companies go, ah, it'll be okay. And you really should talk to people who bridge both cultures, linguistically, professionally. It's important. It's essential.
Yes. Which brings me to my next topic.
Yeah. I'm conscious of the fact we've hitting the time limit here.
Yes. So this next episode is going to be about subtle differences yet again, but being specific and giving you a professional and social context. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive in, I suppose, a little bit deeper still. So get your diving kit ready. And we'll see you next week.
Amazing. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.